Tune in for your fix. Dina LJ is your host and Tay Digger in your mix. For journeys of all kinds, from the fashion to the music, a platform telling the world that you needed me and they never knew it. To break away from normalities in the systematic, ventured on my own, the world's a jewel and I'ma grab it. Gotta have it, cause it's mine for the taking. All in filling the void that seems to be rather vacant here. In these times, entrepreneurship planted in these minds, in these skies, living off my living. Yeah, I'm indie high. In these times, entrepreneurship planted in these minds, in these skies, living off my living. Yeah, I'm indie high. In these times, entrepreneurship planted in these minds, in these skies, living off my living. Yeah, I'm indie high. In these times, entrepreneurship planted in these minds, in these skies, living off my living. Yeah, I'm indie high.
What's up, what's up? It's your girl, Donna LJ.
And it's your girl, Tay Digger.
And you're tuned into Indie High Radio.
What's up, everyone?
Hope everyone is doing well.
Yes, yes. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Yes, we appreciate all of our listeners. We appreciate your support. We appreciate everyone who subscribes. We sincerely are nothing without you, so we thank you so much.
If you know somebody who hasn't subscribed, just go ahead and just send that link over.
That's right. Send the link. Tell them to subscribe. This is Indie High Radio. We're trying to make our little footprint in this world.
Yes, yes. And we are. I believe that we are.
I think so, too.
We're pushing on that year anniversary.
Right.
So we've been doing a lot of things since then. So,
yeah.
Very proud of us, Donna LJ.
I am, too. And I sometimes I feel like we don't give ourselves enough credit because we just know there's
moving.
So much more, right, that we want to do. So it's
right.
Like, it's hard to acknowledge where you are, but it is important to do that. So
yes.
Thank you guys once again. This is episode 31. Wow. Moving right along in these parts. So
we might hit 50 before.
I think we'll hit it pretty quick.
So the year is going to be the 50th.
Right.
The 50th.
We have to start slowing it down in a minute.
Like. Celebration right there.
No, that's right. Well, we, as always, have a very, very, very talented special guest with us today, and we're going to let him introduce himself.
Hey, how y'all doing? My name is Travis Irby, film director, writer, producer, all of that good stuff.
Jack of all trades.
Right.
I love it. All right, and with that big resume you have there, how did all that get started? Like, when did you say, like, I want to go into film, I want to do production, I want to direct? Like, when did all that happen?
I've been doing films, 2017?
Mm-hmm.
Since about 2015. About 2015 is when I started. And really just had a passion for creating. Always, you know, I think we're all creators,
mm-hmm,
in our own right. And
definitely.
I'm a big fan of J. Cole, so I always, like, I went through a time in life where I did nothing but listen to Cole for, like,
really?
That was like my Bible.
Seriously though, I can see that,
because you know,
I love J. Cole.
Like the Let's warm like up
yes,
Friday Night Lights.
Oh,
like
from the beginning.
Man, from the beginning. Like, not the new Cole, but
right,
the old Cole. You know, and I was dealing with a lot of stress in life, and he was basically like my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't rap. I wish I could rap. You know, that
we all wish we could have a little, you know.
I got a little rap.
Nah, Donna got some bars.
Rap. Just a little bar.
That's because she's a poet. She's a writer. She's a songwriter. So she,
yeah,
that's just
so I
in
get the
her
easy pass.
Right. And see, that's crazy because, like, even with the rap, like, I went through a little phase in my life where I was in love with poetry.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't do that neither. You know? So, like,
had to find another outlet.
Right. Had to find another outlet. And that's where I started to do films. Like, I would just write. When I was stressed, I would just write. Especially when I was dealing with my depression,
mm-hmm,
about 3-4 years ago, I would just write. And one time I realized, like, man, I wrote scripts.
Right.
You know? And my first film was actually about suicide. It's called Suicidal Thoughts. Mm-hmm. That was my first film 2 years ago. It was blogged by Ball Alert. So that was a cool thing. But even that film, like, I woke up a Wednesday and was like, yo, I need to get this monkey off my back. I want to shoot a film.
Yeah.
And I shot it that Saturday.
Wow.
And yeah, and you could probably tell by the work. But you know, I enjoyed it. And I didn't go to school for this. And I tell a lot of people, the biggest teacher is learning.
Right.
Is experience. Right. And mm-hmm. just to see where I've came, you know, from my first film to this film,
yeah.
the progression is crazy.
Right, right.
And to realize that I basically done all of that by myself. And, you know, probably the same thing with you guys. It's like, you know, the first time you do a show, you realize, like, damn, I could have did this better. I could have.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know, for sure. So, you know, it's like.
All the questions and thoughts you could
Right. You know, you watch people and, you know, you learn how to get better with your craft. And
of
that's
course.
Basically how I was. I would. My first three films for me was. I correlated to sports. It was mm-hmm. like watching game film. I would go. Watch, see what I could do better,
mm-hmm.
and just by making things easier for me, as far as like making a scene schedule.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about that.
Right.
My first two films. One night I realized, like, yo, how can I make this easier for me?
Right.
A scene schedule, like, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, like my last film, I realized, like, whoa, that's a real thing. Time schedule, call card, that's mm-hmm. a real thing.
It'll right. keep everything organized.
Organized. Mm-hmm. My way of realizing that was, how can I make this easier for me?
Right.
You know, and not waste people's time, not realizing there are real names for these things.
Right.
You know, so that's basically how that got happened, yeah. how I got started into doing films.
Man.
That's
and
cool.
Just a that. Message after what he just said. You just said you had an idea that Wednesday to shoot the film.
Right.
What did you do? 3 days later, you shot it.
Right.
Message people. Message.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, don't sit on it. Just do
right.
it.
Just do it.
Just do
and
it.
That's. I think that's the hardest part of anything.
Yeah.
Like, just starting out. So we have to realize that what separates leaders from followers are the people who take initiative.
That is a very
not the
very
people
true.
Who are talking, but the people who are doing.
Right.
And so that's very, very important.
Took
and
that idea.
You're a case in point.
Definitely.
So that's really cool.
But you know, the biggest thing is, like, it's easier to say than to do it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's easier to say than to do it, because even now, like, I feel like I don't work hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, with me working 2 full-time jobs and still doing my films, I still feel like there's a lot more of me left
mm-hmm.
in the tank. And there, I still don't feel like I give 100%. But what you said is a mouthful, man, because I see so many talented people that don't take the effort
right.
to get done what they're trying to get done. And that was my biggest thing, is trying to get this monkey off my back. And I'll say a quick story. Like, you know, I like to use metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
And I correlate that to, so, like, I've never been rich, right? And I feel like people who are super rich, mm-hmm. they live in this big house.
Right.
Big old mansion. I feel like in a mansion, nobody ever answers the front door.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they come through the garage, through the back. Nobody right. ever comes through the front door.
Right.
Front door, you got this. Behind that front door, you got this beautiful living room. Like, nobody ever goes in. Like, if you watch the Teyonn Tiny Show, they got
yeah.
the white living room.
Right.
Nobody can sit
touch
in.
Touch. Right.
Right. I feel like all rich people have that. You know, and this mansion that I envision is 15 bathrooms, a lot of bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're knocking on that door.
Right.
And I feel like nobody ever hears the front door because nobody's by the front door.
Mm.
And at this mansion, either you know who lives there or you don't.
Right.
But I feel like if you keep knocking at that door, if you keep knocking, one day.
Hello.
Somebody got to pass by that living
yeah.
room one day.
Right.
You know? And that's just me having faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I correlate that to having faith. Like, if you keep knocking at that door, one day somebody's going to open it.
Yep.
Right.
You know? So, and then that's just how I approached these films. Like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even know how to use a camera. I just learned how to use a camera my last film. And then this is my fourth film, and I've done like two videos. Mm. All I knew was direction. I didn't even know how to use a camera. So, but I knew I had a story to tell.
Right.
You know, I wasn't going to let what I couldn't do stop me from doing what I wanted to do. Mm. Like I said, my first film, I didn't have a camera. I didn't have actors. I didn't have actresses. A lot of people who were in my first films were friends.
Right.
Who didn't have nothing to do. So, you know, like when people see my films, they're like, oh, well, that, like, man, this is a teacher and a flight attendant who is just my homies and they needed something to do, you know? So it's just like, man, just to, for me to understand where the work has came from. And especially now in days with what we do, it's hard to perception.
Right.
You know, it's hard to not. To get away from that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're always on social media. You see a lot of people doing big things, not knowing what they had to do to get there. And
yeah.
You feel like you're left behind.
Yeah.
You know, so one thing about me is just like, man, I stuck to my core. I stuck to my guns. I stuck to my faith. And even to this day, I don't know where to take me. But I'm still knocking at that door.
Hey, you just gave...
I know.
A whole mouthful. You said I gave a mouthful. You just gave a whole mouthful there. Where's your organ, Donna? We do this all the time. We're going to get that organ. But nah, you said it. You really did say it. I made a post earlier today saying, you know, your journey is your journey. You can't compare it to anybody else's.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I know you see everybody might be somewhere where you wish you were, but you have to take, God's putting you on your journey for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It could be something that he's wanting to give you that you have to be patient. And you may not even be ready for it.
Yeah, right. Definitely. You know?
So you have to trust the process and trust your journey. That's it.
Right. And I think a good thing is to note is that, you know, when we do what we're meant to do, it's like we're building a brick house.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Brick by brick. And so even though it feels so tedious because it's one brick. One brick.
Exactly.
One brick.
At a time.
Once you know, you look back in retrospect, and then you kind of look back and like, man, God brought me through this, God brought me through that, God brought me through that. And then you like, wow, I just built a whole house. You know what I'm saying? Brick by brick. So you have to remember that when you're on your journey, it seems tedious. It feels tedious.
Yeah.
But you are making progress. And that's why it's good. Like, me and Tay need to work on this too. Like, taking time to appreciate where you are.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can truly see, like, okay, wow, I started like this.
And look where I'm at right now.
Look where I am right now. You know, so give yourself that credit.
Right. I mean, I've been knowing Tay for a good little second. Like, I I don't know if Nigel had told me that y'all, or... You talk like, man, y'all got your own studio? Like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Because I just remember having conversations with her, and this was just a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
This was just basically a dream, and now it's happening. But, you know, especially like you guys know, man, we with us trying to get, or us being, doing what we do, let me say that, us doing what we do, you meet a lot of people that claim they want to work. You meet a lot of people that claim they're about this life.
Preach.
Nah.
You know, but that's not what happens.
Yeah.
And you truly get to appreciate the grind because you truly get to understand why certain people are where they at.
Yes.
Why certain people fall from the grace of God.
Right.
Yep.
You know, because, and I don't like to say humble because I think Drake said the best. Humble doesn't work as well as being aware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people don't appreciate other people,
right?
You know, as far as humans, because I don't want to say humble because I feel like humble is like being passive.
Yeah,
like I heard Wale, like I love rap, so you know I use a lot of rap references, and I remember just Wale saying in the song like, "Why should I be humble? You know, if this is something you do, if this is your work, if this is your grind." You lose sleep. You could be with your daughter right now.
Right.
You know, you could be somewhere having fun, but we out here working right now. So, you know, and that's how I feel about my films. Like, I feel like when on the level that we're on, or just as far, no, I'm going to say just as far as a creator, period, I feel like I'm one of the best. when you talk about being able to create and tell a story. And not only tell a story, but tell a story for our people.
Yes.
You know, I feel like we're moving away from those 90 films, those Spike Lee joints, those films that are scared, that we're scared to talk about as African Americans.
Yeah.
You know, that we shy away from, that we consider taboo in the black community. And these are a lot of films that I hit on. My second film was about domestic violence coming from the child perspective.
I remember. I was on set for that
one. You know, yeah, you was. You know, the cycle. So, that's... And I feel like I feel like I can do anything. Yeah. Any type of film. But for what? It's enough of party films going on. Mm-hmm. It's enough of nonsense going on. I want to be able to touch souls. I want to be able to touch lives. I want to be able to let people see, like, yo, you're not the only one out here hurting. You're not the only one going through this. And because, once again, I'll beat a dead horse, man. Perception is perceiving us right now. Mm. With our generation and with our younger generation, they get on social media, they see pictures, they see people taking trips, and they feel like
they have to,
have it. And people wonder why suicide, people wonder why mental illness in the black community is at an all-time high. Because we feel like we're behind. Mm. We feel like we're not with our friends. We feel like we're not...
We're always playing catch-up.
Exactly. Always playing catch-up. And it's like, you don't know... Okay, that person might have a Benz or a BMW, but you don't know what their car note is like. Yes. You don't know what their insurance is like.
You don't know what they had to do to get that car.
Man, that too. Yeah. You know? So, I really just wanted to bring some realism to the art.
Yeah.
You know, I really wanted to bring some realism to our... For our culture, for our people. What I felt like was missing.
Yeah.
So...
I like that. Me and too. With that being said, like, where do you see yourself in 10 years with your vision and your drive and at the rate you're going and you're learning and developing in 10 years? Like, ideally, you know, ballpark, where would you love to be?
I mean, if you would have asked me this question maybe 5 years ago, of course, you know, you always want to shoot for the stars. But I consider myself rather conscious. Mm-hmm. And when I say conscious, I mean I'm well aware of everything around me. I'm conscious about everything around me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, hold on, I got another music reference. I heard Kendrick Lamar on the freestyle, the Future freestyle, he says something along the lines like, y'all let a conscious nigga make conscious music and still
go mainstream.
Go mainstream. A lot of times I'm scared. Is this my water?
Yeah.
Because I definitely took it. Yes. You know? But you know, a lot of times that scared me to say, am I too conscious?
Yeah.
You know, do my films serve too much of a purpose for someone to say, okay, let me give him a shot? I keep it 1,000 with you, like I said, and I'll say it again. When it comes to creating stories, I feel like I could be one of the best out here, because my vision on the things I want to do, the things I want to create, man, I haven't even tapped into that
dragon ball. That's why I'm trying to give you 10 years. I'm like, that's plenty of time.
Like, you know, like, I'm not like, as
you,
a director.
You might literally be living in the 15 bathroom house. You know
look,
what I'm saying?
As a director.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, and this is just me being, once again, being conscious. As a director, I have to limit myself. Because a lot of, and once you guys see this film, you'll probably think like, oh, what kind of budget you have? I have no budget. All of my films are done with $0. You know, it's definitely the J. Cole Doll in the Dream. Everything
Seriously.
Is all faith. You know, I remember, I was assistant directing on a film with the great Bobby Huntley. Right?
Hey, Bobby.
Shout out to Bobby.
What's
you know?
Up, Bobby?
And, you know, I mean, like, he's stressing about what he called gorilla footage. Mm-hmm. You know, that's basically gorilla footage is basically like when you don't have papers to shoot somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm looking like, yeah, that's all my work. Like,
I don't never have no paper.
Right. Like, I don't never have no, like, what are you talking about? You know? But, and I said, like, you know, that's what I love about. So, I mean, when you ask that question, it's like, I know if I'm given, if somebody gives me the opportunity, I have stories.
Yeah.
Like, I have stories that are endless, that are priceless, that needs to be told. Yeah. I have, and not only in our, especially in our community. Because mm-hmm. it's like when you look at the Nat Turner movie, there's yeah. 1,000 Nat Turner films that can be done on Black people in our culture and right. who we are as people. Right now, I'm writing a story. It's a guy named Sanderfield. He was about 12 years old. Mm-hmm. In Chicago. He's from Chicago, and he was basically a murderer. You know, I think at the age of 12, he already had like 10 bodies on him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Right. And that's a story that, you know, I want to tell. You know, I hopefully nobody is listening to this. And, you know, like, I just get into the groove and I just be talking, but... You know, but I have 1,000 of those.
Yeah.
You know, because I like to read, research.
There are a lot of stories from our culture that need to be said.
Need to be told. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. So.
And so, like, when you ask that question, it's like, I mean, 10 years from now, I could still be doing what I'm doing. Am I mad? No. I'm from the Bronx, New York. I was 13, 14 of us growing up in a 3-bedroom apartment. I'm the first person in my family to go to college. So... Man. I mean, and
kudos
my,
to that.
Right. Kudos, you know, like, kudos to that.
You know, like, seriously, so, in my
easy
mind,
task.
Not at all.
In my mind, I already won.
Right.
Hello.
You know, I already beat the system. I don't have a president's for money. I don't come from money. You know, so to say I need a lot of money, I don't. I just want to be able to take care of my family.
Yeah.
So once again, when you ask where do you see yourself in 10 years, it's like, yo, I don't know, because I'm telling you, if somebody was to give me a shot and let my beautiful mind work, the sky's the limit.
Right. Okay. But that's, like I said, it's no right or wrong answer. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. So that's totally fine. I
mean, you're gonna be a movie, cuz. Y'all gonna come see my... Nah, I'm just right. playing, you know.
Look, but somebody gonna be wanting to shoot you.
Right.
A movie
right,
about
you know?
Your life.
Right.
So, it's definitely, but I heard y'all say, like, man, you gotta appreciate the grind.
No, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You know?
You really, really do.
Because it's easy to not, like, I mean, when you struggling, when you trying to make ends meet, when you trying to make things happen, when you spending the last of the little bit you have into your craft.
Man.
Like, when you go through that, like, that's a reality check. So sometimes it's hard to be appreciative of those moments because you're like, I just gave my last. Like,
right.
now I'm going to really be eating ramen noodles, like, for real. Like,
right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I feel like God, like, while you're going through the storm, God always reminds you that it's still sunshine on the other end of it.
Fact.
So just keep that in mind. And it's like, I feel that a person who knows that there's light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, then it's easier for them to go through the tunnel because they know it's light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
As opposed to someone who feels lost in the darkness and doesn't know what's at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
You know, that's harder for them to be like, oh, I just can't do it because it's unsure. But when you know your purpose and you're walking in your purpose, then the light at the end of the tunnel is always there. You just got to keep walking.
Going.
And that's how you appreciate
the grind.
Man.
Word.
I hope y'all listening out there. In podcast land, I hope you got your notepads out.
Right.
Man, we inspiring today.
Man.
You know?
That's our goal, though. You know, that's the whole point of Indie High Radio. We want to inspire others to take charge of your passion and do it. Just do it.
Man, you know what inspired... And I don't even go to the movies a lot because I hate to... Once again, I'm a creator. And one thing you realize is, like, everything kind of been created already.
Yeah.
You know, all you can do is probably really
put your little own twang on it.
And I went to see the Tupac movie.
Yeah.
And I just remember Pac saying, like, if I don't change the world, I'm going to spark the brain who does change it.
Mm.
And I feel like we failed them. You know, our generation failed them because... You know, when you look at society now, everything is about how can I get paid?
Mm.
And it's not about humanity anymore. It's not about how can I affect the lives of others.
Yeah.
And once again, I heard Will Smith say, if you just living for yourself, you fail.
Man.
You know, your goal should be how many lives can I change? And once again, like, I remember watching, I don't know if you guys remember, like, MTV, I think it was like Jinx, something like that, where, like, he would go around doing, like, 100 good deeds.
Mm.
And I was, as selfish as I want to be, I said, that's how I want people to remember me. I want hundreds and thousands of people at my funeral because I affected that many lives.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's what life is about. Life is about what can you do for somebody else.
Completely agree.
You know?
Stole the words right out of my mouth. Right. You know, I say that almost every episode.
Exactly.
Man, love is wanting more for someone than they want for themselves.
No, seriously, because, you know? I mean, that's what, another reason why we're here. You know, this isn't about us.
Right.
NDI Radio is not about us. We're here for all of the creatives who need an outlet for people to know who they are.
Facts.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And whatever we can do to help, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're, because we're young creatives. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
So we know the struggle.
We know the struggle, and that's why we're trying to create our own lane. Exactly. You know what I mean? Instead of waiting for someone to take us and put us in their lane, we're like, let's create our own lane and see how many people we can spark.
Yeah.
Into creating their own lanes as well, you know, and that's what we want to inspire a community of supporters, a community of people who follow their dreams and passions, and that's really what it's about. And so I love what you're doing, you know, with your film. So you said you have four films
yes.
Under
to
your
be
belt
told was the last one.
This is the one that just one. Screened
just screened yes
nice. So give us a little details
yeah
about
how
that
whole process went.
You know, so the film is about rape, and basically this is another taboo topic that we don't like to talk about in the black community.
Correct.
Those are blurred lines. Rape, mm-hmm. when you talk about rape, is the lines are black and white.
Right.
You know, they're a little blurred.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just basically wanted to paint a picture of what goes on behind the scenes, meaning, like, we don't really ever see the parties. Like, all we do is hear about it, but we don't know how it affects their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for our young black men, no matter whether you were found guilty or innocent, there's always going to be a black cloud over your head.
Right.
You know, there's always going to be a stigma. Did he or did he not do it?
Right.
And in this film, that's basically what's portrayed. And, I linked up with one of my fraternity brothers, Chris Harmon, who he's actually the one who shot it. He was the DP of it. And he did an awesome job. And, you know, if I have any young film directors out there, especially for black people, it's hard for us to work together. You know, everybody wants...
I never say that.
You know, I have a motto, be for the credits and not the credit.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of times we're worrying about who name goes here, who name goes there, that it stops us from working.
Right.
And I say that to say because he was able to bring another side to it that, you know, my sources were tapped out.
Mm.
You know, so, you know, he played a big role in making this film be what it is. Like, I'm telling you, when you see this film, you're just going to, like, okay, like, yeah, he, like, it was something. You're not going to believe a dollar wasn't spent for this film. Like, you're not going to believe it.
That's so
you know,
amazing.
And that's, you know.
That has to make you feel amazing.
It does. It really does. You know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because at some point, I know money's going to be needed.
Yeah.
But once again, I'm not going to let capital stop me from making my dreams come true. And and I'm not saying this to brag. Remind you, I'm not saying this to brag. Because look, if I had $50,000 to put to a project, you know what I'm saying? But basically, the message behind this is don't let nothing stop you from making your dreams come true.
Right.
If this is something, I know people who shoot films with iPhones.
Yep.
And edit it with the iMovie, you know, so it's like no matter what you want to do, I mean, you could be working a 9-to-5, you could be working at McDonald's, you know, approach everything like it's your last, approach everything with enthusiasm.
Yes.
Because especially with just working a regular job, one thing I don't like is customer service.
Mm.
So even on set, you know, one thing I've learned is to have customer service. I don't like my actors and actresses on set all day long. So I think that's another reason why I'm able to, you know, not have so much capital. Like, guys aren't on set 10, 11, 12 hours and not getting paid. I do make sure people eat and drink on set. You know, people, you know, have refreshments, but outside of that, a dollar isn't spent.
Yeah.
And also with that, you have to respect people's time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one thing I've learned to do, and one thing I've become great at is respecting those on set time, because they're doing it for free.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to do it. They've taken the time to rehearse, go over their lines. So at least I can do is respect their time and not have them on set all day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, even this, truth be told, I think it took us like 4 days, and I think we was on set maybe about 7 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot of work that goes into this, and it's a lot of work that, you know, Chris put in. He, you know, we shot it. He mainly shot it. He edited it, you know. And, you know, I know I put him through a lot, you know, but it's a lot of work that goes behind it. So when you see it and we have the outcome that we had August 23rd, where everybody came out, it felt like the whole city was at the screening room. It was no place to sit.
Wow.
Standing was, that's awesome. Like, you had people in the lobby.
Yeah.
You know, and big shots out to screening room for allowing us to have that premiere there. I've been there a few times, and I've never seen it packed like that.
Wow.
How it was. It was crazy. It was easily 75 people in there.
That's dope.
You know, so for my first premiere to have that, to feel that energy, to see your film on a big screen,
right?
You know, it was humbling.
Different type, you know, of
different
feeling
type,
right,
of feeling, different type of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. It's, right.
You know, I'm used to watching my films, and I hate watching my work. You know, I hate watching my work.
I think everybody's their biggest critic, right, man. Seriously.
Yeah. I know, so I am.
Right.
You know, to feel the energy in the building, to hear people talking about the film, It was a feeling that it is priceless. Yeah. You know, you can't put a dollar sign on.
Man. So, like, when you're doing your films, you know, I know you're working on no budget.
Right.
So,
right.
give us the ups and the downs of being an independent filmmaker.
The ups and downs, of course, is not having any money.
Yeah.
Because always in the back of my mind, you know, like, yo, this could have been that much better.
Yeah.
If I would have had this, if I would have had that. And it's just like, if I would have had anything. Like, mm-hmm, I said, once again, and I stress it, these films, all of my films, no dollar spent to it.
Right.
So you look at my films and you say, man, what if he would have had at least $5,000?
Right.
When I worked on set with Bobby Huntley, you know, that was the first time I saw money being exchanged on set for people getting paid to do for their work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, what if I could have had, what if I could have even $1,000, even right, if I have $1,000,
yeah,
you know, so that's basically it. And not knowing whether somebody's going to come and shut down your whole operation. Because once again, when you look at that film, truth be told, 40 minutes, we didn't have no clearance for nothing.
Right.
So if somebody would have came and said,
you can't shoot here,
you know, and then once again, as a director, as a creator, as the writer, everything is on me.
Mm-hmm.
So during these days, say if I have 8 actors, I have to make sure the 8 actors are there on time. I have to make sure the cameraman's there on time. I have to make sure the extras are there on time. Because if a ball is dropped, everything is on me.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so this is how I became a jack of all trades. It wasn't by choice. You know, it was by wanting to get these projects done and knowing that I would have to handle everything. Scouting locations, getting the talent.
Right.
You know, so that's how I became a jack of all trades. And it's stressful when you have to be accounted. You got to account for 20, 25 people. You got to account for if the cops come over, they tell you can't shoot, then what?
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't have a plan B. Yeah. I had a plan A and nothing else.
Right.
You know, so.
Has that ever happened? Have you ever been shut down?
Unfortunately, I haven't. Unfortunately, by the grace of God. Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
unfortunately, I haven't by the grace of God. And I remember I had someone ask me, shout out to Michael Buchanan. He also, you know, helped write on Truth Be Told. You know, he's like, bro, like, how do you do it? I'm like, man, by the grace of God, I honestly tell you to have 4 quality films in, two quality videos in. I did a my own version of a J. Cole video, for Tale of Two Cities, and that's at like 80,000 views on YouTube.
Dope.
That's awesome. You know, so to do all of this and see all of this work put in and know it wasn't a dollar spent, it's like you can't tell me it can't happen.
No.
You know, you can't tell me you need money. You can't throw a dollar sign in my face and say, you gotta have this, you gotta have that. Like, I'ma keep grinding to somebody realize my beautiful mind.
Yeah.
And realize that I'm in it for longevity. You know, especially with our generation, especially with social media, you have a lot of sprints.
Yeah.
You know, you have to understand that and I did run track, and I did run long distance. It's like, you have to understand this is a marathon.
Yeah.
You know, I wanna be doing films. I wanna be in this game, being able to do this art forever.
Yeah.
For a long time. I'm not just trying to do a film, pop, and then be done.
Yeah.
I wanna be able to do 10, 15, 20
films. You want
films.
This to be your life.
Yeah, I want this to be my lifestyle. You know, so understanding that, it's like, you know, you got to keep your pace and you know, and that's why I said I don't like to go to the movies. I don't like to watch other short films because I have to, it might digress what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, by thinking, oh my gosh, I need to be here. I need to be there. And like, even like the first time I met Bobby Huntley, like I go to his office, I'm like, yo, I'm looking at a dude that's like my age. He got his own office. He got his posters on the wall. He got these big old TVs. He got this Black Magic, these Red Dragons. But, you know, he took me in, you know, he embraced me. And with that being said, I looked at it as a friendly competition. Like, yo, that's where I need to get.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't look at it like I used to look at things in the bad competition, like, yo, I'm not where he at.
Right.
I'm feeling bad. Like, yo, how he got 180,000 followers and he was just behind me 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
With followers. You know, as an artist, it's every little thing that can stop that that wheel from turning. Then you look up, you've been depressed for 4-5 months. You done missed out while they steady climbing.
Yeah.
You know, so one thing with that, man, I stay in my lane. I just keep my head down and I just continue to work. And, you know, I let the critics and everything else, you know, I let that speak for itself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to let everybody else talk while I just continue to do work. I'm going to let everybody else do the sprints while I know this is a marathon and I'm running this cross country race.
I feel it.
I love that.
So, like, what is your, like, strategy for perfecting your craft or, you know, like, making your craft stronger than what it is?
I don't have no strategy. Work, man, work.
What advice would you give someone who's an up-and-coming director?
Once I stated earlier, man, a lot of people say they want this and they want that, but they don't put the work behind it. You know, one thing that I did is I put the work behind it. When I'm in my writing zone, I shut the TV off, I shut the lights off.
Yeah.
I take social media off my phone and I write.
Mm.
I mean, I can write. I wrote, truth be told, it was like 33 pages. Of course, I had help from Brittany Reynolds, Micah Buchanan. But for the most part, I wrote 23, 24 pages in 2 days. You know, so when I'm in my zone, I'm in my zone. We don't have no excuses.
Right.
You know, that's basically it. I mean, I don't have the secret or the code to this. It's just work. You know, if you say you want to do this, then do it. Be about that life, shout it. You know, especially, man, like I say, and I can't stress, I've had actors and actresses, they sitting up here paying $200, $300 a week for acting classes, and then they coin, oh, I don't work for free. Nigga, what? and I swear, man, we sit up here, we do these memes, and we don't realize how stupid we sound. Because if you're a true artist, if you are about your dream, and I understand we all want money.
Yeah.
We all would love to be getting paid to do what we love.
Yeah.
But the truth be told, man, you in this entertainment industry and just life, you're going to do a lot of stuff for free.
A lot of sacrifices.
Hell, when you even think about working a 9-to-5. You went to school for what? 16, 17 years and didn't get a dime for it. Nothing. You went to college for 4 to 6 years and paid them for an education just so you could start making money. You know? You didn't tell those HBCUs or those PWIs, or I don't go to school for free. You gotta pay me.
Right.
Even though some people did get scholarships, but y'all get the logistics of what I'm saying.
But like you said, those people got scholarships, put in work. Like, they had to get them good grades.
Put in work.
And to me, that you keep saying, like, you don't have no secret. To me, that is the secret. Like, that is the advice.
Yeah.
Put in that work. And like you said, people do stray away from putting in work. People want everything handed to them.
Handed, man. And I tell people, if I was Spike Lee, you know, if I was the Hughley brothers, if I was John Singleton, I'm making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I'm worth millions of dollars. But you'll do my film for free. Knowing that I could change your situation.
Yeah.
But just to say that I'm in a John Singleton film, you'll do it for free. But I'm giving you a chance to star in my film. To really put this on your reel. And you gonna tell me I don't work for free. Well, what else you do? What else you gotta do? Oh, nothing. But I'm paying for these acting classes $200-$300 a week. You know what I'm saying? And that's just the mentality we have, man. And I see so many people, and this is why I say fall from grace. I see so many people fall from grace. It's like, yo, I'm like you nothing. Like, you prayed for this, and I'm the opportunity. God is sending me to you, and you don't even realize it.
You
want that dollar. You're going to let a dollar stop you from working.
Yeah.
You're going to let a dollar stop you from making your dreams come true.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I loved about my cast, for truth be told, man. They put in the work.
Mm.
You know, they put in the grind, you know, and it wasn't about a dollar.
Yeah. And with that being said, what are the names of, like, some of the main cast members?
You have a shout out to Jamie D. He played Ethan. He was the crazy guy. Shout out to Sarah Casa. She was the main character, the young lady who accused the star basketball player Ryan James of rape.
Mm-hmm.
You had David Horton. He was one of the best friends. You had Chris. No, I'm sorry. You had Corey. Corey. He was one of the best friends as well. And you had, she's gonna kill me.
Hey, you going through a Rolodex. So man, look,
Selena. Yeah, she.
We got you, Selena.
Yeah, we got you, girl.
You know, she played, she was the best friend. She played Ashley Leslie. She was awesome, man.
Yeah.
She was actually the first time I shot this. Selena and Jamie were the only two I bought back, man. They were great.
Mm-hmm.
Selena, I see a bright future with her, man.
Yeah.
Like, everybody did great. Everybody did great. Everybody's doing, like, I didn't even realize everybody was doing big things till last night.
Yeah.
You know, like, we did a Q&A and they are asking, oh, so what you got up next? Like, people on Delta commercials.
Wow.
What's the show? Snap. People on Snap. I'm like, God, like, damn it. What y'all, you know? So, man, the cast is actually doing big things, man. Miss Sarah, Selena, they're still in school at Georgia State. You know, so they're relatively young and very talented, gorgeous young women. My guys, man, they bought it. You know, Dave, man, he was, this was his first time acting. And,
wow.
Yeah, and he, man, I think, you know, he brought a lot of laughter to the film.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie just played that creep so much, you know.
And we all know some of those.
All right? Know some of those. Those guys that just don't understand why she don't want me.
Right.
You know, he was that guy, you know. And Sarah loved the popular guy. You
That's
know,
funny.
Normally how it is. And, you know, actually, man, Corey actually had one of my favorite lines in the film where he's talking to Sarah's character. And her alarm didn't go off, and he's talking about her cell phone. I don't know. I loved it. Maybe it's just me, but that was like one of my favorite parts of the film. You know, I don't know. I feel like I'm the only one that caught it. But, you know, I definitely had a great cast. Definitely had a great cast, man.
That's what's up.
And that's a blessing. Like, I love when, like, you know, you have a thought or a vision, and then everything comes together, and you see that final result,
exactly.
And it's like, wow, that's so amazing. You know, that came from just be thinking one about this.
One little thought.
Man. And that's why it's our minds are very important, whether we realize it or not. Yeah. And that's why it's important what we feed our minds. It's definitely important to read. Definitely. And it's important to be aware of what's going on.
Definitely.
And it's important to build yourself up so no you're confident in who you are. Yeah, and that confidence can bless others as well so that they can be confident in who they are.
Right. Definitely. So do you see yourself taking this film on the road, or do you want to screen it at any other places, or what's your plan for this film?
Once again,
are you just going to keep it moving?
Just keep it moving.
No. I mean, I just started doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not someone, and this is where the humbleness in me come from. Like, I understand that there's a lot of work to be put in.
Yeah.
And getting the most out of your films.
Right.
And one thing to understand about art is art doesn't have a due date.
You're correct.
You know, right. So it's basically trying to get as much out of these films as I can.
Right.
You know, so no, definitely, I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still, I haven't really figured out the film festival circuit.
Right.
So I'm still figuring that whole thing out, and, you know, so, you know, Just praying for the best. You know, I think I said I'm a still Kevin Gates. Like what he did, like he would walk around with his mixtapes and hand them out. Yeah. Like, hey, my name is Kevin Gates. Trying to be. I said I'm gonna do that with my films.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna put my films on DVDs and just start handing them out.
That's dope.
You know,
that's
dope. So that's definitely.
And I feel like that's with the message in your films, it will start a conversation.
Right, and that's basically the goal.
Within the community. So,
that's basically the goal, to start a conversation.
And let us know whatever we can do to help support,
for sure,
you know, your vision and your dream. And we sincerely appreciate you coming on our show.
Appreciate y'all having me.
No problem. We reached the end of the show. It always goes by so fast. Like, every time I look at it, Don is like, man, it's another 10 minutes, another 10 minutes, another 10 minutes. But I love that. So how can people follow you? How can people support the project? What's your social media, or how can people get connected with what you have going on?
My IG is IAM Travis, TRAVIS, Irby, IRB, B as in boy, Y. It's B as in boy, saying that is a habit I always used to hear my mama say.
Right.
But yeah, IAM Travis Irby. Travis Irby on YouTube if you want to check out any of my films, check out any of my work, and that's pretty much it.
I love that. Tay, how can people check out Indie High Radio?
Why she always do this to me, y'all?
Every episode.
Cause she know I mess up.
But you get better and better each time. That's what I'm saying. Making diamonds.
Alright, well, you guys can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Indie High R, the number 8 DIO.
That's right.
It's Indie High Radio if you don't get it. You could go on Facebook and follow us or like the page Indie High Radio LLC, or you can hit the one stop shop website www.indiehighradio.com. You can check the podcast there. You can buy some merchandise.
Yeah.
You can sign up for our email subscription.
That's right.
And check out some of our YouTube
videos.
Vlogs.
Yeah.
You know?
We got a few things. And keep in mind, we have some great things coming up with Indie High.
Yeah.
I'm always
with
remember,
it being our year coming
right,
up. Oh, yeah.
We have some awesome things in store for you guys. And I'm always remember the last Thursday of every month is Indie High Thursdays.
Yes.
So make sure you're in the building. That's the time we can all network. We can meet you guys. If you want to perform, you can perform. Just hit us up for details on how you can perform. If you want to be a vendor, hit us up for details. We'll let you know how that process works. So, you know, this is a way to really connect with our community, and also, you know, for you to connect with others as well and share your talents with everyone else. So, once again, we appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in to Indie High Radio.
Thank you.
This is your girl.
Love you
guys. We love you very, very much. We really do. This is your girl, Donna LJ, signing out.
And it's your girl, Tay Digga. Woo-hoo. Stay inspired.